this is Michelle Anderson, north of Bangor, and today I am interviewing Bruce Poliquin, the state treasurer. I'm here at his suite of offices at the Cross Building. Hi, Bruce, how are you?
Well, good to be here, Michelle, and good to see you again. Now, I hate to correct people, but this is not really a suite of office. I want to make sure none of your listeners think that we have a suite of offices. We actually have
a large cubicle.
A large cubicle with no door. So there you go. But you're nice to be here. I'm good to see you again.
Thank you. Let's start out by telling my listeners exactly what does the treasurer of the state of Maine do?
The treasurer of the state of Maine is one of four constitutional officers, Michelle, meaning that although I'm hired by the legislature elects the constitutional officers, they are independent. They're independent of the governor's office. They're independent, in fact, of the legislature. And in my opinion, they report directly to the people of Maine. The treasurer's job has many facets. The most important parts are that we manage the state's tax revenues until they're used to be appropriated, if you will, or spent on programs and services. So, for example, right now, the treasurer's cash pool has about $700 million in it. And we have people here that are very talented that very carefully, very prudently invest that money such that we can earn interest on that money, and it's available when we need to spend it. We also manage our bond portfolio. And that is when the voters, Michelle, go to the polls, sometimes they vote on bonds. And these bonds are sold to borrow money to fund highway and bridge construction and things of that nature. And Maine State Treasury, under my supervision, borrows that money on behalf of the taxpayers by selling those bonds. Now, we don't sell all the bonds issued by the state of Maine, but we sell the ones that the voters approve. There are other independent authorities that have been in the press recently that also sell their own bonds for various purposes, but Treasury sells its own general obligation bonds.
And so when you say a bond, that's really just our promise to pay, is it?
Yes,
not?
That's exactly right. Okay. That's exactly correct. We actually sell an instrument, a financial security that says we promise to pay you interest every 6 months and your principal back over a 10-year period of time, or in 10 years, and in return, you let us use that money now to build our roads and bridges.
So you shop that around, though, to see where we can get the best deal, or do you automatically go to, you know, XYZ company?
Oh, no. Good for you to ask that question. I'm cheap. I'm from Waterville. I grew up in Waterville. We're four generations there. This is not my money. This is taxpayer money. I am very cheap. And what we do is we put this, excuse me, Michelle, on what we call a competitive platform, and we get all the information out to Wall Street and the other investment banks around the country, and when they're ready to take a stab at buying our bonds, we let them compete with everybody else. We squeeze the prices. We get the best possible deal for the taxpayers, which means the lowest interest rate on the bonds, because we have to pay that interest on the bonds. Now, there are some of these quasi-independent authorities that have been created by the legislature, like the Maine Turnpike Authority as an example, or Maine Housing Authority, or the Municipal Bond Bank. And these folks also raise money for good purposes by selling bonds. But for the most part, they have sold their bonds in the past on a negotiated basis, meaning they sit across the table with an investment banker, and they determine what the interest rate will be and the price of the bonds and so forth and so on. It is my contention, when possible, and it's not always possible, but when possible, you want to introduce as much competition as you possibly can in that process, Michelle, such that you can drive those interest rates down and get the best deal for the taxpayers.
Well, let me ask you, I used to have credit cards. My interest rate would go from, 3% to 18%, anywhere in between. What kind of range? You don't have to be specific, but what sort of range are we looking at?
Well, it depends. It depends on how long out those bonds go. If they mature in a year or two, it might be 1% or 2%. If they mature in 10 years, and that's as far as we go out in Treasury, a 10-year bond, they might be 4%. So it depends on market conditions. I mean, it can change.
Right.
Now, I remember 20 years ago when that 4%, coupon or interest rate on a 10-year bond, might have been 6 or 7%. So it conditions change.
Okay. But you're still doing better than my credit cards were.
Well, yes. I would certainly not borrow money from credit card companies and pay 20% interest. And, of course, you're borrowing their money when you use the credit card to buy certain goods and services. There's nothing I didn't mention, Michelle, that's really important, what we're doing in Treasury, and I don't think it's been done before. is that we have really dug down very deeply here and tried to determine, if push comes to shove, how much debt are the taxpayers of Maine on the hook for? And that not only includes the bonds that are sold in Treasury, which is about $500 million worth, but also the $5.5 billion worth that these various authorities have sold. The University of Maine system has sold $200 million in bonds.
Now, they sell those bonds without us ever going to referendum, right?
That's correct. Well, yes. The only bonds that are sold when you go to referendum, approved by voters at the ballot box, mm-hmm. are the $500 million of bonds that are outstanding that Treasury has sold.
But so this university, for instance, could just say, oh, we need $100,000 or $100 million, we're going to put it out to bond, and they don't have to go to the people?
That's correct.
Okay.
And that's, you know, and they have a board of trustees that oversees the president's office that does this, and the mm-hmm. financial people. And the important thing, Michelle, is to the best of my ability, mm-hmm. none of these authorities are in any financial trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they're in some other trouble, as you can tell mm-hmm. at the Turnpike, but they're not in financial trouble. However, it is my contention, and this is the debate I've had with all kinds of folks in Augusta, it is my contention that if anything were to go wrong,
mm-hmm.
then ultimately the taxpayers of Maine would be called upon to come to the rescue of the folks that bought our bonds.
Right.
Whether it be through these authorities, through Treasury. Of course, they are obligated on a general obligation bond sold through Treasury. The taxpayers mm-hmm. are legally on the hook. But the university system or what have you. This is all part of our public debt. Each piece of it, Michelle, is a little bit different. But if push came to shove, my contention, again, to make this really clear, is that the taxpayers of Maine ultimately will be called upon
sure.
to make sure none of these bonds default.
And so do you... I know you intend to, but do you think you can come up with a number and then you'll release it to the public and go, this is that number?
I've actually been talking about it for quite a long period of time, and I'm sorry that you haven't heard one of my talks.
I have.
You have. Okay, I don't mean to be rude, but it's about $12.5 billion. And now let me be a little bit myopic here. About a third of that, about $4.1 billion, is the part of our debt that absolutely gives me fits, Michelle. It's our unfunded pension liability for our teachers and our state employees. Now, this is unlike any other part of our public debt because the annual payments to pay it off are spiking. Let me give you an example.
Mm-hmm.
The Maine Constitution says that we must pay off this $4.1 billion shortfall in our pension fund for our teachers and state workers by 2028. So we only have a 17-year mortgage, so to speak. Mm-hmm. We have 17 years to pay it off. Now, if we had the ability to write a $4.1 billion check today mm-hmm. and then invest the money, we're done. But just like a home mortgage, we're unable to come up with all the cash right away to buy the home.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to make annual payments to pay off this debt. Now, here's the interesting thing. If you add up each of these annual payments for the next 17 years,
mm-hmm.
they total $13 billion. That is real money. This is not Washington. We can't print it. We've got to come up with that money over the next 17 years. Now, to tell you, you know, some folks say, Bruce, you're being a little inflammatory. I call it telling the truth.
Yeah,
you know,
realistic.
I tell the truth. And give you an example how big these numbers are, Michelle. This next fiscal year in 2012,
mm-hmm.
the taxpayers of Maine have to come up with $409 million for 1 year's payment to this pension obligation for our teachers and our state workers.
That's just for that portion.
That's just 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we go fiscal year June to June, so that's fiscal year 2012. So it starts mm-hmm. this July 1, goes to June 30, 2012. Now, in 10 years, 1 year's payment will approach $894 million. So we go from roughly $400 million to roughly $900 million in 10 years. And that's just 1 year's payment. So right now that $409 million payment is roughly 1/7 of our entire state budget. In 10 years, that $894 million payment is projected to be roughly 20 to 25% of our entire state budget.
Mm.
So that's why it is so important to address this problem, because these annual payments are spiking. Now, in the governor's budget that he submitted to the legislature, and they're now debating it,
mm-hmm.
in there, Michelle, is a set of reforms to the pension plan. I believe they're fair and they're reasonable. And if they are adopted, they will reduce that $4.1 billion pension debt in half in these annual payments that we have to make by more than 50%.
So those are that's the part where it says they're going to the cap from 3 to 2%. That's that part, right?
That's that part. Where, yeah, let me explain.
They seem pretty small.
Well, I think they're very reasonable. Now, let me tell you how it works.
Uh-huh.
If you are a retired teacher or a state worker and you're in the system and you're getting a pension check, we will not cut your pension check.
Okay.
However, what we are asking you to do is to forego any cost of living increase on those checks for 3 years.
Okay.
Freeze it at 3 years.
Like everybody else in the state is doing.
Well, okay, yes, I would make that point. And then after 3 years, we're asking you to cap it at 2%.
Per year.
Per year, uh-huh. Going forward, correct. Now, if you are still working, you're in the system, mm-hmm. you're still working and accruing benefits, we're asking you to put in another 2% of your salary for your own retirement. We think that's fair. And then for those folks who are not yet vested, they haven't mm-hmm. been there for 5 years, or we haven't even hired them yet, we ask them to retire at age 65 instead of age 62. So if you put all that in the pot and you realize what the impact that is on this debt, it's dramatic. We think these are reasonable reforms, but it cuts this pension debt in half. Now, what that allows us to do is create a more fiscally sustainable pension plan such that when these folks retire and they need the money, it's there.
Right.
And at the same time, it reduces our annual payments so we can fund our other programs.
Okay. And those numbers, did those numbers originally come from you? Or?
No. They came from and come from the Maine Public Employees Retirement System.
Okay.
And by the way, it's very important to note, Michelle, is that my comments today are as state treasurer, not as a trustee
of
the Maine Employees System, because I'm one of eight trustees.
Okay.
And I'm talking to you as state treasurer.
Which is how I'm talking to you, too.
Yes, good.
Wonderful. Let me just ask you this, and it's a little bit off topic, but I do want to get the answer to this. I read your blog, which is why I do know.
Thank
I read
you.
Your blog.
How do you like it?
I love it.
Good.
And more than the blog itself, I like the very idea that in a time when the federal administration promises transparency and gives nothing, you didn't promise this transparency, yet here it is. And well, perhaps you did, but I mean, it wasn't like a major thing. I am thrilled that I'm learning what's going on with my money here in the Capitol. I wish everybody would do that. But I did want to ask you, and it could, because it's been a huge complaint of mine for a long time that the Democrats across the country have been using new media for quite some time to their advantage, mm-hmm. and the Republicans were not. Mm-hmm. What is it that gave you the idea to do that?
It's a really good question, Michelle. And, you know, let me answer you this way, is that first of all, Treasury is an apolitical office.
Mm-hmm.
I hug everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a French Canadian. I hug everybody. So Republican, Democrat, Green, Independent, doesn't matter to me. But it is so important if we're going to solve any of these really serious fiscal problems, you have to make the voters and the taxpayers aware of them. And so I have been on a mission for the past 16 weeks. In addition to my responsibilities here at Treasury, and I'm working, you know, I don't want to pat myself on the back, but I work 14-hour days, 6.5 days a week, and you know, 4 or 5 times a week, whether it be a Saturday morning or Saturday night or a Tuesday evening or Monday morning, I'm out speaking to various groups, speaking to the media, just so they understand that we do have some very serious problems. And once you do that, Michelle, and you have the people in Augusta that are committed to fixing the problem, then you can do it.
Right.
The beauty of this state is that it's so small. I mean, we have 1.3 million people. If you take Boston, and then you take Route 128 around Boston, include those suburbs,
mm-hmm.
that's about how big Maine is.
Yep.
So it doesn't take much to solve this problem and to change things up here. Now, to answer your question specifically, when I campaigned for governor,
mm-hmm.
I realized, and it was a two-year process, I realized that the traditional media really hadn't tuned in yet to the campaign. So how do we get our message out? And we realized how powerful the new media platforms are, whether it be Twitter or Facebook or email blasts or our own video content or what have you, and we were very effective in doing that. So I have taken that skill set and that ability to reach voters that normally cannot be reached by going to them directly with these new media platforms. So I'm pleased about the results. I'm humbled to be here. I wake up every morning with one thing on my mind, is that, Bruce, how can I save money for the taxpayers of Maine?
That you had my that. Only mission. You had that, if I recall, when I met you, when you were campaigning.
That was your burning. I am what I am, and you know, I happen to believe, Michelle, that my skill set, primarily in the financial services industry, is a very good fit for Treasury and a very good fit for the problems that we have here in Augusta. Mm-hmm. Because, frankly, most of the problems we have here are fiscal, and that really drives everything. We've got to create a business-friendly climate in this state so we can attract businesses to invest here, create jobs, and keep our kids here. And you know, the interesting thing, families know this, Michelle, and businesses know this. Fiscal discipline, fiscal prudence, that is the foundation of a healthy private sector. We need to introduce fiscal discipline and prudence in state government. That will help us develop a business-friendly climate, get people to invest in this state so we can create jobs and keep our kids here.
Great. Let me tell you, I come from a state, I won't mention it, I come from a state where they've been giving out IOUs instead of tax refunds. My daughter, in fact, was in Iraq the first time they held several $1,000s from her. The next year, she owed them $200 and they threatened her. She thought they'd take it off the debt. They didn't. Are we in Maine? We're not looking at anything that drastic.
No. You know, and I know that state, and let's tell your viewers, let's tell your listeners, it's California,
which is
one heck of a mess. No. Maine is a small state that we can fix. We have some very serious problems that hadn't been, I think, really put a lot of attention on in the past. We're dedicated to fix that. We're going to be just fine. Everyone stay positive. We're going to be just fine. Enjoy the summer.
Thank you very much, Bruce, and I hope to talk to you again when things calm down, but I don't think that's going to happen.
No, they'll never calm down. It's good to see you.
Thank you. So there you have my interview with Maine State Treasurer Bruce Poliquin. I hope you tune in again next time when we delve into some of the issues which interest us north of Bangor.